This is the Evil Never Dies podcast midweek show. Stay evil, everyone.
This is the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm your host, Carl Todd, for the midweek episode. Brett is on assignment. So I talked a couple weeks ago, the passing of Jack Russell of Great White, that I wanted to cover a Great White album. I always try to talk too fast when I'm doing these shows solo, so I'm going to slow down. So anyway, and I wasn't lazy this time. I actually pulled the CD out of the rack. And this is actually the original CD I bought back then. This album will be the third album from Great White, and it is called Once Bitten, from 1987. And the simplicity of CDs back in the 80s, you know, and for one thing, still good. Everybody said CDs won't last a lifetime. Well, they do. Then they all came with this little CD sticker on there that the compact disc audio system offers a small, convenient sound carrier, state-of-the-art reproduction. And then it gives for best results. You don't throw the CD around. Well, we all learned you could throw these things like Frisbees and they didn't break. So, Great White, Once Bitten. There's the album cover with the model. Trying to think of what her name is. Tracy Martinson. She was actually in their videos. They did three videos for this album. Very 1987 glammy. I mean, I always argue that Great White was not a glam rock band, but when you listen back, they definitely had some elements of glam rock or glam metal. But they were a blues band. They were a blues rock band, and this album was really the beginning of them showing off these blues roots more. The first album, the debut album, sort of more kind of flashy metal, and the second album, sort of, it was actually on an independent label. There was a bidding war for Great White because they were big in L.A., and they signed to EMI Records on that first debut album, which was called Great White. It didn't do as well, so the label dumped them. So there were seven labels that were after them, and they decided, well, you didn't want us, we don't want you. So they released their second album as an independent, and it was a pretty good surprise. So there was another bidding war, and Capitol Records won Great White. The third try was a success, because this album is where they finally broke loose as a major act in the United States. Alan Nevin was their manager, and he also managed Guns N' Roses. But he seemed to be more involved with Great White than he was any other band, because he actually helps them with writing the songs and sort of set them in the right direction, I believe. So let's just go over the stats on Once Bitten. It was released on June 17th of 1987. And I remember buying this album pretty soon after it came out. Recorded at the Total Access Recording Studio in California. We're going to call this genre of glam metal, blues rock, and hard rock. And that really does fit this album pretty well, because it's a little bit of both, of all three, I should say, mixed together. The album runs 46 minutes. It's only got 9 songs, so that tells you these songs have some length to them. It was on Capitol Records, and it was produced by Alan Nevin, their manager, Mark Kendall, the guitar player, and Michael Lardy, who played on their second album as a guest and joined the band as a full member for this, primarily as a rhythm guitar player and keyboard. Their keyboards don't really come out until the next album, which is Twice Shy. So I think Michael Lardy brought a lot to Great White. Still does. I think he was very underrated. And Mark Kendall, the guitar player, also one of the most underrated guitar players from this 80s period. I think he should have got a lot more praise than he did. But Great White was just a band that did not get a lot of spotlight. You know, I think I said on our Remembering Jack Russell episode, they ended up American Music Awards and all kinds of things, but I just don't think they got the due of some of these other glam rock bands like Cinderella and Poison. And I honestly feel that Cinderella and Poison sort of stole some of Great White's thunder when they started including a lot of the more bluesy songs and, you know, acoustics and stuff and more keyboards. Because that first Cinderella album was not no glam rock blues album. It was just, so yeah, I mean, I might be wrong, but that's my view. I think Great White influenced a lot of the other LA bands, or not so LA bands, glam rock bands. Cinderella was from Pennsylvania, I believe. Poison, I think they went to Los Angeles. Don't really care about them too. They can all go to hell, far as I care. Not a fan of Cinderella or Poison anymore. Great White, still good stuff. Let's talk about Great White, the band. So lead vocals is Jack Russell, who recently we lost, you know, after a long sickness. One of the best voices from that period of music. That's all that can be said. The emotion in his voice is just so real. You don't hear that in all these other fakey blues glam rock bands like Bret Michaels. Bret didn't have any emotion in his voice. Jack Russell did. There was a story I heard that George Lynch and Jeff Pilson, guitar player and bassist of Dokken, called Jack Russell at some point and asked if he would join Dokken. And he was confused. He's like, why would I join Dokken? That's Don Dokken. It's his band. And they're like, well, we're going to get rid of Don. And we just thought your vocals and our music could become this incredible machine. And he's like, well, sorry, guys, I'm in a band I love. And, you know, Dokken is Dokken. So I'm going to have to turn you guys down. So, who knows? Mark Kendall was lead guitar. Mark Kendall and Jack Russell actually co-founded Great White back in the 70s, and they go back further than that. They were in several bands together before Jack Russell went to jail. He was a bad boy. So when he got out of jail, they got back together, and they actually got the name Great White because Mark Kendall used to walk around the Sunset Strip wearing like all white clothes, and his hair was literally almost white. So then they had some weird scheme where they would dress in, like, he dressed in white, Jack Russell dressed in black and white, just sort of a weird thing. And Alan Nevin, their manager, told him to get rid of that goofy gimmick, so they did. Rhythm guitar, keyboards, harmonica, and backing vocals is the great Michael Lardy. Like I said, I think he really brought this band to a new level and a new light. He would also be in Night Ranger, so he had quite a career. This would be the last album on bass of Lorne Black, who they had several bass players over the years, and they still to this day can't keep a bass player in the band. Don't know nothing about the guy. I think he passed away, actually, years later. Very good blues player, blues bass player. He fit the band well. And on the drums was Audie DeBrow, or Des Brow. I never knew exactly how you pronounce his name. He's been with the band for a long while. Again, he's not your classic, you know, glam rock, hard rock drummer. He's got that blues sound to him. And the drums are real intense on this album. You didn't hear that from these, you know, late 80s bands. The drums were sort of hidden. And the bass was out there, too. This is one album where the production is absolutely phenomenal. All the instruments blend in just the way they should. No one overshadows anybody. You don't get that kind of production from the late 80s. And this is what I listen to is the straight original master. I don't know if this has ever been remastered or not. I know they re-recorded some of it, probably because Capitol Records have a tendency to not let artists have their music. So they had done some re-recordings of this album and songs, and I was not very impressed. The original is good. I think I mentioned it was arranged and produced by Alan Nevin, Michael Lardy, and Mark Kendall. And it was engineered by Michael Lardy and Eddie Ashwood. And it was mastered by a man named George Marino. And this master is great. I wish more of the album from that time period sounded like this, because it's phenomenal job, you know, from 1987. Just wow. It still sounds really great today. So let's talk about how this thing did. Then we'll get into some of the details of the songs. It was a commercial success. It went platinum in April of 1988. So about a year later, it actually made platinum. There were three music videos from this album, and they all had that sort of glam rocky look to them, even though the music might not have fit. They had the girl in it. Their hair was pretty teased, but that's how it was in 1987. Unless you're in a thrash metal band, you know, let the music do the talking, as the great Joe Perry once said. So the videos were very MTV for the period. Lady Red Light was the first video, followed by Rock Me, which was a big hit on MTV. And the third video was Save Your Love. Now, as far as singles, they only released Rock Me and Save Your Love. They did not release Lady Red Light. Probably wouldn't have been a big hit on radio anyway, so it was good for MTV. So it did go platinum. Let's see, where are we at here? There's not a lot of stuff on this album. I'm kind of looking through the notes, and I'm going to freestyle it from there. We'll go over the track list in a moment, because I want to go by each song, because this is one of those albums that really, really deserves a look, closer look. It did peak at 23 on the Billboard 200, which is really impressive for a, you know, first major label release. Although you got to look at the fact, 1987, there was so much of this type of music coming out. You know, Guns N' Roses' debut album, which took it about a year to finally start to sell really well. Whitesnake had become big in America, and they were a blues-based band that sort of dabbled in the poppy or glam rock blues fusion. So 23 was a good thing for Great White, I think. This album definitely led them to where they needed to go. It went gold in Canada and platinum in the U.S., so I think it probably should have done better. I mean, if you compare Kendall and Michael Lardy to some of the other guitar players and these bands from that era, they were way far superior. I think Tesla and Great White are the two most underrated, whatever you want to call it, bands of that era. Not overrated, underrated. Overrated, I think we'd get into the Poisons and the Cinderellas and some of them guys. They didn't get their due. It gets good reviews from people. So I want to get into the actual songs now, because that's the key to it. Let me turn my light on a minute. Okay, now I can see what I actually wrote a few notes down for this one so I wouldn't miss anything. So track one is Lady Red Light. It's got a guitar intro, which immediately kind of hits your speakers. Then the song kind of draws considerably from this main riff, but it's pretty damn hard. Singer Jack Russell comes in singing about a woman. Well, in the booklet, he makes sure to know that this was not a prostitute, so because Lady Red Light would make you think of the Red Light District. So there's some cool little notes in the book. I'll try to look at those before we're done. So musically, this song rocks with a vengeance. The chorus is great. You know, halfway through it, there's a little keyboard riff and excellent guitar solo. So This is a great opener. I mean, I would give this probably one of the best songs on the album. Track two is gonna get you. It starts on a riff that sort of feels very glam rocky. They haven't gotten to that full blues yet. The song sort of it's kind of deceptive. It's a really great song. The chorus is really really catchy, and the keyboards are sort of absent, so it does make it a little bit of a harder number than it would have been if they'd have put more keyboards in it. The guitar solo is excellent again. It's, I think it could have been a tad heavier, especially maybe added some more rhythm guitar to it, but it's definitely a good song. It's sort of a forgotten hero song of the album. Track three is the hit, and it's Rock Me. That was the first song that I really got drawn to Great White from, and it's very bluesy. It's got harmonicas, sort of Led Zeppelin-y too. This is definitely the highlight of the album for me, and it was their biggest hit from the album. It's probably one of the best, might be the best song Great White ever done, honestly. And they had some good music. I contemplated doing a top 10 Great White songs for this show, but I don't think Great White is as known by the audience as they probably should be. So that's why we're doing the album. Track four is All Over Now. It sort of brings the album back to where it was before Rock Me, kind of that up-tempo anthem. Again, a little bit more hard rocky here than I might have liked, but it's a good song. Track five is Mistreater, and this song is killer. It's not as quiet as catchy, but the guitars are pretty thunderous on this thing. It's a great song. It's sort of got the blues sound going again, so I like the song a lot. Never Change Heart, which is a weird name for it. Some of these bands have some weird ass names for songs. Never Change Heart. Yeah, that's the name of it. I'm not making it up. Sort of a cheesy set of lyrics. Definitely a cheesy chorus, but it's okay. I think they could have done it without the cheese. It would have been a better song, but you know, they're still learning. This is their third album and they're trying to find their direction. Fast Road is next. It's more of up-tempo. Musically, it sort of has a frenzy of some hard rock riffs and some good solos again. The chorus sort of is a letdown, but it's a pretty catchy damn song. It's a good track. There are really no fillers on this album. That's what I'm kind of getting to. Now, the filler of the album could be the song called On My Edge. It's pretty generic, but again, it's, if you put it on some other Great White albums, it might have been the best album on the whole record. So it might be a skippable track, but it's track you know, that this album is pretty fucking solid. And the album ends with the ballad, which had sort of been threatening that it would get to a ballad, and it finally did, and the song is called Save Your Love. It's starts with some acoustic beginning and some keyboards and very bluesy. One of the better ballads from this time frame, because Jack Russell's voice just really feels the emotion. You don't get that with these other guys from the LA scene or the glam scene. Jack Russell just, he had a freaking voice. And you know, I could almost see where people could say that he's trying to, you know, mimic or copy Robert Plant. But is that a bad thing? Robert Plant was probably the greatest singer in rock and roll. So Save Your Love is a really good ending to this album. I would recommend Lady Red Light, All Over Now, and Rock Me, and Save Your Love if you want to be introduced to this great album. So let's talk a little bit about the tour. The tour is very easy and simple. They toured with Whitesnake. They were opening for Whitesnake throughout the 1987 tour and into 1988. What a perfect fit. Whitesnake and Great White, they meshed together. Just that would have been one of the best shows of the year right there. They did play the Monsters of Rock Festival, which I thought was cool in 1988. A blues glammy band, being up there with some of the heavier bands, I thought that was good for them. So they did play that. Like I said, in the 80s, things were a lot more simple. They didn't print the lyrics, they just gave little notes. It's dark in here. Let me turn my light back up again. I make it too dark because I normally don't read things. Like for the song Save Your Love, I love their little note. It just says dream on. So it was just a dream, the song, the guy's wanting his girlfriend back and save his love, but unfortunately she did not. So that is about all I've got for this album, Great White's Once Bitten. The cover, it's got the girl on it and the shark fin. I think they could have probably done better. There's the back. As you see, they've got the hair metal going there. Jack Russell still did not look like he belonged in that scene. He looked like a blues guy to me. But for all you babies, yeah, this is what a CD looks like. An original from the 80s CD. So I'm proud to say I've still got most of mine. I will give Once Bitten a 4.5 out of 5. That's high praise for me. It's probably their best album. Their next album, Twice Shy, got a little bit too commercial in places, but it also got a lot more bluesy in places. Unfortunately, Great White would not have a long run because grunge would end up killing the band off. Then they would break up and tragedies would happen and reunions would eventually happen. And now the great Jack Russell has passed away. So, although Great White still exists with another singer, so take it for what you will. I also heard that Jack Russell's band that he was touring with have changed their name to Once Bitten, and they're going to continue to tour in his memory. So I guess that's kind of cool, maybe. At least they're not trying to call it Jack Russell's Great White without Jack Russell. So I give him praise for changing the name to Once Bitten because it's a be a good tribute to the man. I'm sure the guys in his band, he wants to see him, continue to make a living. So I think things like this are pretty cool. As long as they don't try to steal the names, like we have Quiet Riot running around without any original members and various things like that. But Great White holds a dear spot in my heart. And if you're not familiar with them, it's on Apple Music and Spotify. Once Bitten is the perfect place to learn about the band and then check out the rest of their catalog. So highly recommended and hope you enjoy because it's some good music. A lot better than the contemporaries from 1987, in my opinion. And I'm going to end it with that. I'm sure we'll have a few snippets at the end. I recommend going straight to Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you get your music from, and listening to the whole album and giving it a chance. If you're into the, more blues rock with a little bit of glam elements, they're perfect. So, like and subscribe if you choose. Our subscribers are going up. www.countkarabi.com for the haunted house. There's a lot of stuff going on that Facebook page now. New props, old props coming back to life. Lots in the world of the haunted house coming. As y'all know, it's almost September. So if that interests you, please check it out. Evil Never Dies podcast and all the social medias, the Evil Never Dies group, the Evil Ones. You can join there and talk to the fans and talk to us. A lot of good times are found there. And I don't know anything else to push. I know Brett still got some t-shirts for sale. This is not one of them. This is the old style shirt. The new shirt is all white and real slick. We're going to try to get some better pictures of the shirt and post them on the social medias and maybe even the YouTube page here. And Check it out. It's a cool shirt. We would appreciate your support. And that will do it for this episode. I have no idea what we're going to be doing for the main episode. It will probably be a movie because we've been on music the last couple of weeks. We will find out by then. So we'll talk to you Sunday. I'm Carl Todd. Thanks for listening and watching. And thanks for making the YouTube page such a success too, because it's really going up each week. And I definitely want to thank our podcast listeners, because you're what made us, and you will always be our bread. If that's a word, is that even a word? I'm just making up words now. Bread and butter, I think that's what I meant to say. All right, everybody, we will talk to you Sunday, and stay evil.
We'll move on. How to find a Like the-